because spiritually, sad to say, I'm not sure if many times we were as focused as maybe we should be. And I think coming back to kind of a new norm and a new appreciation for being able to, first of all, gather together once again, and then gather together and with being able to fellowship and even without masks at times. And so we rejoice. Kansas City's trying to get back into that again. But been another outbreak up there and so forth. But we're wonderful to be able to be here together this morning and worship with you. While we're doing that, our church is having worship service, and we gather together for several reasons. First of all, to worship our Lord for what we just heard about. Secondly, to learn to grow ourselves, and it's so important that we continually renewing our minds so that we can be all that God would have us to be. And then thirdly, to be able to fellowship with others with common goals and seek to really, as Hebrews 10:24 says, to stimulate one another to love and to good works. And I've sure enjoyed my time here. Actually been here, as Pastor said, since Wednesday. They'll be happy that I don't have another time. I assume we've had so many times together, and we've had a wonderful time. I'll say a little bit more about that this evening. But I do want to mention this morning, do we have an outline? By the way, did we get the outlines out? Everybody get an outline? Okay. Let's go ahead and pass those out. If you want one, go ahead and take one. I'm a note taker myself. You might look at this outline first and you say, oh my goodness, how long is this service anyway? But notice that the blanks are filled in for the most part. So I'm giving you a lot, but I'm just referring to some things and giving it to you. And then also, while they're passing those out, let me just mention that I do have a gift for you and your family today. Last time I was here, I believe I gave you a book, a follow-up book, one per family, and today I actually have three books, and I'll refer to them here in just a moment, but one is called Focus on Winning in Life, and it's the life principle of Let Your Purpose Prioritize Your Life. I have copies of that. You could either have a copy of that, one per family, and even if you're out of high school and single, you're not a family, please take one as well. So it could either be this book or a second life principle, Be Different on Purpose, and the book is Let Your Light Shine. Each one has five passages of Scripture and that really represent this life principle. So Let Your Purpose Prioritize Your Life is life principle one. Life principle two is be different, which means be distinct, on purpose. Because of our purpose in life, to glorify God, to grow in Christ-likeness, to be distinct in carrying that out. And the third one, actually one that I just wrote a year ago in COVID, during COVID, is choosing with purpose. And it's the life principle of let your purpose clarify your choices. So have a choice of one of those three books that are out there. Please take one per family. I was a little over the luggage limit with my luggage, and my carry-on weighed, I think, more than the luggage that I actually checked and was over. So I'd love to go back without as many books. And so there's a few other books out there that might be a help to you. Quite a few of them went during the teacher in service and on the parent night. But I've got a few others out there. If you'd be interested, you could go ahead. But I want to put a few things up here. By the way, we put all three of those books into what we call a foundation pack. Just came out this summer, and it's all three of those books, all three of those life principles, 15 passages of Scripture. And I wrote this initially as follow-up to our student leadership conferences that we do around the country. And I've had the privilege of heading those up for 30 years now. I was kind of as a sideline to our ministry, but we put them all together in what we call a foundation pack. So if you're interested, it is out there. It isn't free. It is $10, but it's a $20 package. If you'd like one of those, there's an offering plate out there. You could go ahead and get those, or the other books are all $10, book, workbook, whatever we have out there, and then the free one that we're giving you. So with that in mind, I want to put some things up here for you this morning. And I know that the last time I was here, I put this last one up, but it's an important intro. So I'm going to give you an intro. You mean you're going to give an intro and this long outline that we have? Yes, but again, you've got the outline pretty much filled in. We're going to hit on one passage. That's what I normally do, is take one passage and share it. I will do that this morning, but I'm referring to quite a few more. This is what I like to call a biblical worldview Sunday. And I have a privilege of doing these in quite a few places around the country. And really with a focus on that we all need to have in the days that we live a biblical worldview. You know, what does the Bible say about life? And look at it through the lens of the Word of God, looking at life that way. And then secondly, how can we develop a ministry mindset? And we do that with teens, but we do it with families. We do it I used to say that we help good kids become godly servants. I just mentioned that in Sunday school. Because about everywhere I go, somebody will come up to me, sometimes several people, and say, you know, we just have some good kids here. And they're referring to the teens, and that's great that they think they're good. But you know what? Sometimes we're content with being good when the command is being godly. And that's really what we're seeking to do. And so nowadays, I say also that we try to help good, faithful, church-going people to be godly servants, because sometimes we can get in the good habit, and yet, even as we've already focused on this morning, really forget what is life all about. We're here to bring glory to God and to grow in Christ's likeness. So, with all that in mind, becoming God's leaders today, that's what we're to do, and to be an influence on others. What faces believers today? What faces churches today? I'll move along with this. Four statements that I heard a few years ago that really challenged my life. That first of all, we live in a world of opposing values. Don't have to spend much time there. I think we understand that. Secondly, we live in a world with a very aggressive strategy. Even more aggressive now, I think, than pre-COVID days. Thirdly, we either adopt or reject those values of the world. And they sure want us to adopt those, don't they? In fact, they demand that we adopt those many times. And then fourthly, and this is a statement that really got to me, that in order to reject the world's values, we need to be equally aggressive with God's plan. And that's why I spend a lot of time today going what I call a 2 Timothy 2 ministry, commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also, to be more aggressive with the plan that God has given to us through his word. So with that in mind, these three principles that I've already mentioned to you, first of all, a very important principle. Here's two of the verses that are in those books and that you have on the sheet in front of you, but let your purpose prioritize your life. You see it on your sheet. If you're looking at the outline, life principles for a winning life. Everybody wants to be a winner, but for a winning life. Life principle number one, to let our real purpose be the priority. And here's some verses. They're not the only verses that support it, but wow, the Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. I don't know about you, but years ago as a young Christian, I was 24 when I put my faith and trust in Christ, and I heard that you should have a life verse. And so I claimed early in my Christian life, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, you know, to trust in the Lord with all of my heart and not to lean just on my own understanding. In all my ways acknowledge him. Oh, in all my ways acknowledge him. And guess what? He'd direct my paths. In fact, in my Bible, I wrote in, because I saw this in a commentary, that he'll make your paths smooth as you put your total trust in him and acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths smooth. I love that. But that's probably, now actually, I claim Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. And probably just about every morning as I wake up, one of the first things that enters my mind is, hey, today, I've got my to-do list, kind of a to-do list guy, but above my to-do list, I need to let my purpose prioritize my life. I just said to the teachers the other day, now normally these days, because I travel a fair bit, that first thing enters my mind is, okay, where am I? Am I home? Am I? Oh, yeah, I'm in Mechanicsburg, and then where's the bathroom where I am? That's the first thing that enters my mind these days. But then secondly to that is, I would have to say, Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. And right after that, it goes for me into Psalm 37, which is the second one on your sheet, verses 3 through 7. I love it. Trust in the Lord and do good. And then it says, dwell there. Even if you don't feel like trusting, dwell there and feed on his faithfulness. I love that. And then going on, I always go right to, I'm getting ready for the day, and remind myself of Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. And I like what one translation says, let your big-heartedness be made known to all men. The Lord is at hand. And then it says, and this is what I really need, it says, be anxious for nothing. Because I don't know about you, I can be an anxious person. I can worry about a lot of things if I'm not careful. And I've learned over the years not to be anxious, but in everything. And I try, my wife and I try in all things to be with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And then what does it say? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. You know, we have peace with God when we put our faith and trust in Christ, don't we? But then there's a peace of God as we really commit things to him instead of worrying about it. Oh, people have been so uptight in the last year and a half. I finally got to a point that I took a couple of passages of scripture. I'll probably share one a little bit later this morning. And I put them on a little card that I'd hand out at church and other places, because people seemed so fearful about everything that was going on. I'd say, hey, look at this, what scripture says, that we don't have to fear, that we can trust in him. And he you know, cast all your fear on him, and so forth. Principle number two goes right along with it. It's down about halfway down the page. I'm moving along in your outline, see? Life principle number two, to be different on purpose. Because of our purpose to glorify him, grow in Christ-likeness, we're going to need to be distinct, unlike most others. And that's the Matthew 5, by the way. Tonight, I'll actually be speaking on Matthew 5 in the service tonight. The salt and light, it's a familiar passage, but such a tremendous passage, and one that we need. And we'll give 3 points about that this evening, and we'll look at that and share some things. And then I love Matthew chapter 6. That's the second passage here. And by the way, in the book, these are the passages that in the booklets that you get, one of those on your way out today. They go ahead and share some things about this. But you know, we need to be thinking on the eternal, not on the earthly. What does it say in Matthew 6? Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. It can be destroyed. It can be stolen. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Thinking on the eternal. Wow. And then we know Matthew 6:33. To what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things. God will take care of the other things. And we've had the privilege of seeing that for the last 50 years of our marriage and in ministry, and we rejoice in that. Wow. Then some great passages here. I love down there at the bottom of that first page, John chapter 17. It really gives us our mission, our ministry, and our message. This is what we're going to speak on here in just a moment. Because when Christ was praying in the garden the night before he was crucified, and he was praying to the Heavenly Father, he was praying about his disciples in the garden. And in John 17, he says, they are not of this world, talking about the disciples. This is not their home, but they are in the world. And then he prays to God, keep them from the evil of the world. But they are sent to the world. That's our mission, isn't it? To those around us. And then he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. John 17, fantastic passage of scripture. That's why I give these to you. They'd be some great passages to focus on. Again, in the book that goes along with Thy Life Principle, they've got some things on that. I've even had other people put some things in there and write on it. But now to the back of the outline, this is where we're going to turn, okay? Introduction is finished. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you would, in your Bible. Thanks for bearing with me through that, but that's kind of a long introduction. But I wanted to give those things because that's where we live today. Troubled times, we hear a lot about it, and that's where we live today. But I want us to look at what I call let your purpose clarify your choices. So the third life principle, in fact, what I share about this morning about our mission, our ministry, and our message, part of that book, that's the red one, in chapter one, it gives a lot more about what I'm sharing this morning. And so this is more is given about that in chapter one of that particular book. And by the way, there's some bookmarks out there that has the three life principles just to remind us of these. I have found that these have helped me so much as really in my life and ministry, it just kind of little by little kind of evolved that these three life principles have really helped me to understand what is life all about. You know, why am I here? What is our purpose? And what do we do with that purpose? Well, 1 Thessalonians talks about that. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians. You get into 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5, and yes, there's a lot about the coming of Christ in there. But there's also tucked away in chapter 5 what I like to call our mission, our ministry, and our message as believers. Let's look at it. Starting in verse number 5 of 1 Thessalonians 5. Ye are all the children of light. Talking about us, believers, and the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, or sober-minded. In other words, be alert, putting on the breastplate, and notice it here, of what? Faith? And love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. I was just telling the parents the other night in the parent meeting that Christian education actually starts with faith. If you go to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 5, it says that first of all, faith. In fact, turn there for just a moment. Let's go ahead and flip back there. I want you to see this because this is one of my Christian education passages, and you have this wonderful ministry, one of the ministries of your church or the Christian school starting again this year, and wow, 50 years of that, that is fantastic. But look what it says in 2 Peter, in chapter 1, look at verse number 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and a virtue knowledge. And then it goes on to knowledge temperance, and temperance patience, patience godliness. And you know, a lot of times when we think of education, what do we think of? See, we think of knowledge. Another year of book learning, right? But it doesn't start there. It says here, add to your faith virtue. Wow, a lot of character training, that's good. But then the virtue, knowledge. And then adding all of those which add up to godliness along the way. So let's go ahead and fill out the outline here. By the way, look at this picture that's here behind me, and I'm looking at it up here. Now, what's happening here? There's two individuals. Is the one on top helping the other guy up, or is the one down below pulling him down? I hope it's the guy on top pulling him up. And isn't that, we hear a lot about that as believers. Edify, build up, encourage, walk alongside, as I already mentioned, stimulate one another to love and to good works. That's pulling up, brothers. But you know, sad to say, there's a lot of tearing down nowadays too. And this is what this passage is talking about. Let's look at it. First of all, let me just give you a real short outline here. We are children of light. So if you're taking notes, just write that down. Now we know it, but we are children of light. We ought to meditate on that some. What does that mean? We're going to look at tonight about being light, being salt, and to let our light so shine. We're going to look at that. But in verses 5 through 10, it tells us this. I like to call it our mission. And our mission is to live for Him. Whoops. I'm trying to do too much there. To live for Him. That is our mission. Write down by it, if you would, a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 10:31, pretty familiar one. I hate to use it at this hour because it says, for whether therefore you eat, I don't want to think about that right now, or drink, I don't want you to think about eating or drinking, that'll come in a little while. Whatever you do, do what? Do all to the glory of God. There again, we're here for God's glory. That is our mission. Romans 8:29, write that down. Often we quote Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to those that love God and call for His purpose, and that's a great verse. But then it says in verses Romans 8:29 that we are actually we're to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's why we come to church. We need to learn. We need to grow. We're here to worship Him, yes. That's very important. That's why we're here. But we need to be renewing our mind through His Word. Be reminded of what is real purpose. And that's what it's all about. That we're children of light. As a result, we are to live for Him. Boy, there's some great verses in there, and you can look at those on your own. But let us just consider that. I talked about the faith, the love, the hope. I love that passage in 1 Peter 3:15. You might even write that down by ear, where it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your heart and always be ready to give a defense to anyone that would ask for the hope that is within us. You know what that means? We need to be showing hope in our life. Not fear, but hope. We have the answers. We have the truth in God's Word. As Pastor was sharing this morning, I mean, I grew up in religion. I grew up going to church a lot. Went to parochial grade school, kindergarten through eighth grade. Every day we'd go to Mass, kindergarten through eighth grade. I went to Mass every day or Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock we'd start school. And on Sunday, of course, my mom took my sister and I to church. My dad didn't go to church as I was growing up, but had a lot of church. But you know, that's not what it's about, isn't it? It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I saw it in somebody's life when I was a college student at a state university. Yeah, I was still going to church. Sad to say, at my state university, I was one of the few guys that went to church on Sunday morning. That's why I'm a pretty firm believer of Christian education all the way through. And we've had the privilege of having our 5 kids, kindergarten through college, as far as Christian education. And now I feel like we're reaping the dividends. It was an investment, not only from the home, to really try to focus on what God's purpose is, to be involved in a good Bible-believing church, and then have the privilege of having them involved in Christian education. We're so thankful for the investment that was there. A lot of people that poured into their lives. And I had some good things. I had a lot of good character training, but I just had religion. And I learned in my religion that you go to church to fulfill your religious obligation. That's what I learned growing up. But then when I was 24, and I had seen in this young lady's life, there was something different. She had a purpose about her. And she could always give me a Bible reason for what she did and what she didn't do on that campus. And I would be asking questions. And she was pointing me to the Word of God. And it took a little while because of my indoctrination. But because of getting into the Word of God a couple of years later, I was drawn to Christ through His Word and saw the need to put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And some of you know the end of the story. I'm married to Gal. Yeah, that's right. I did. And now we have 5 children, 19 grandchildren. All 31 of us had the privilege of getting together just a couple of weeks ago for those 50th, for our wedding anniversary. Our anniversary was in February, but our son, our oldest son's a pastor in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada, and he hadn't been able to get out. And so they were able to get with us, and so we were all 31 of us were able to get together. What a blessing. Our greatest joy is watching as our children seek to try to raise their children to love God with all their heart. Because that is purpose in life. It's not guaranteed, but to really try to focus on renewing our mind of what God says about life. And what does it tell us as far as our ministry? To live together in love and peace. See, it was talking about that hope in verse number 8 there. See, in verse 9 it says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him." Live together in love and peace. Wow. That's what we're talking about. Look at verses 11 through 13. "Wherefore, comfort yourselves together. Edify or build up one another." And that's what it's talking about. Be living together in love and living together in peace. What does it say in John chapter 13, verse 34, 35? You might put this down, write it down as a reference there. A new commandment, it says, doesn't it, that I give to you. That you what? Love one another. Christ says, "As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one towards another." And yet I have the privilege of working with a lot of pastors, a lot of ministries, and I love doing that. But you know what? Boy, it says live in love and peace. And yet there's a lot of battles going on, even in churches. Everybody has their own ideas. Everybody had their own idea. How do you handle COVID? How do you handle it as a church? I don't even like to use the word COVID anymore. But I mean, you know, we got tired of talking about it, didn't we? But it was here. And how do we deal with it, though, as believers? Not just like everybody else. Not just, man, it's got to be my idea, my plan, my way. And yet trying to work with churches and leadership in churches. Even our own church is a battle that way. Because everybody has their opinion. And we live in the days of right. You know, my rights. I demand my rights. Fight for my rights. You deserve your rights. And yet as Christians, God gives us His word that tells us where to love and where to be peacemakers and have hope. And we can actually give others hope through His word and pointing them to the word. What Psalm 34:3? It's actually one of my Christian education verses, but it's for all of us. What does it say? "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together." I hope we're doing that, folks, in our homes, in our church. That would be, you know, a goal as they seek to have another school year in your wonderful school here. But on and on with other believers, that we live in peace and we live in love. All we have to, one of the things I did in service was gave the teachers a love test. I didn't give it to them there, but I gave it as a take-home, gave them a homework assignment, a love test. And it was from 1 Corinthians 13, looking at those characteristics of love and how are we doing on those particular characteristics in our life. So we're talking about our missions to live for Him. Our ministry is live together in love and peace. And you know what? Our message is to love by meeting needs. Look at verse 14. We're going to close with this. But wow, there's a lot of meat right here in verse number 14. Because it's talking about what's our message? Our message is to love others by meeting needs. There's needs all around us. I mean, we have Christians around us. We have family around us. We have non-Christians around us. All those needs around us. And you know what? People fit into these categories. Here it says, now we exhort you, brethren. Number one, it says, warn them that are unruly. You know what it's talking about there? Somebody who is out of steps. It says Christians. If there's other believers that are out of step, we're to lovingly warn them that they're out of step. You know, I'm thankful that as a believer, I have the privilege of being in a body of believers, a local body of believers. And one of the blessings of being in a local body of believers, there's accountability. And I just know that if I was getting out of step, if I'm becoming unruly in an area or so, or two or three, that I believe there's others that would lovingly remind me that I'm out of step. Kind of a military term. I had the privilege of spending 2 years in the United States Army. Went to college after graduation, had this business degree, went on this management program with J.C. Penney. But within about 6 months, back in those days, they had the draft, and yeah, Uncle Sam sent me a letter. Got home one day, and there was my uncle sending me a letter named Sam. We want you for the next 2 years. So I had the privilege of being in the Army for 2 years. Ended up in Vietnam for a year. And I remember in basic training, I learned that I didn't want to be out of step. And they were teaching us how to march in cadence, even running cadence, sometimes with our weapon. You couldn't call it a gun or they'd hit you with it, with a weapon over our head, singing little chants like, I want to be an airborne ranger. I want to go to Vietnam. And I'm thinking, I don't know, they shoot at you over there, don't they? I'd just soon be a desk clerk back here at Fort Leonard, would I think? But anyway, they were trying to get us ready for combat. But I remember they would be teaching us. And so we'd be marching along, you know, and then they'd given a new command, maybe about face. Well, that means what? You turn around this way and start going. But there was always one or two guys that weren't listening to the command. And so everyone's turned, they're going that way. Two guys are still going that way. And they were definitely out of step, and everybody knew it. And they paid the price for that. And all I can remember is I thought, man, I never want to get out of step in this company. I know that. But you know what? That's what it's talking about. And sometimes people get out of step. Galatians 6:1 says, if any man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, go to him in a spirit of meekness. Now, that doesn't just mean the pastor. It doesn't just mean the leadership in the church. It means if you're spiritual minded, in fact, the person that's the closest to them could possibly have the best influence to remind them, hey, you're out of step. I've had people do that to me over the years, and I was thankful for some things. That, yeah, you're right. I've had to go to people. Sometimes they listened, sometimes they didn't. Life is choices. See, a choice is to select with a goal in mind. And if our goal is to glorify God and grow in Christ-likeness, we're going to seek to try to make the right choices. Now, that third book there on choices, it goes into more detail on these four areas. I went over it actually with the teachers this week. But let me give you the second one. Not only warn those that are unruly, and I don't know why he gave that command first, but he did. Here's a second need of people. It says that you are to comfort the feeble-minded. Comfort the faint-hearted. What does it mean to be faint-hearted? Those that are discouraged. They look at the dark side of things. They're without hope. Wow, there's some great verses there. In fact, let's turn to just a couple of them. I think we have time. I want you to turn to Proverbs chapter 3. Just go there for a moment. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 26. You can write this one down. This is a great verse. We could look at so many on this, but it says, for the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken or being caught. See, the Lord is our confidence. We don't have to be faint-hearted. What's the best way to treat the faint-hearted? Encourage them through the Word of God. Look at this. Go to 2 Corinthians 1. I love this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And again, I'm doing this a little different. Normally, I stick to one passage on a Sunday morning, but I think this truth can really be helped. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Write these scriptures down next to the notes there. 2 Corinthians 1, 3, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to what? Comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Folks, we've been comforted as a result to comfort the faint-hearted. To comfort those people that are just discouraged. Look around. People have needs. A little principle I learned years ago, to walk slowly through the crowd. Doesn't just mean to walk slow and be late to everything. But what it means is, as we're about our responsibilities, where are the needs? How can I be a help, a blessing, an encouragement? And the greatest encouragement we can give them is the Word of God. Wow. Comfort the faint-hearted. A lot of people need that today. As we go to church, we always pray this. We have for years. Even when our children were growing up and we'd be on the way to church and we'd be praying, God, first of all, help us today. We want to worship you. Help us to learn and grow. But help us be conscious of the needs of others. Today, as we're about church, work can be the same thing. Where we live, on and on it goes. And so some great scriptures there. The third one, so we're back now into 1 Thessalonians. And look what it says. Not only comfort the faint-hearted, but support the weak. What does that mean? Those without strength. Build them up. What does Galatians 6:2 say? Bear one another's burdens. That's part of being the local body. Bearing the burdens of one another. Wow. You know, I just watch, my wife is so good at this. She bears a lot of burdens of a lot of folks, a lot of ladies in particular, a lot of the elderly, just coming alongside. How can we help you, encourage you, just be a friend to you? What can we do? And bearing one another's burdens, supporting the weak. And then what's the last one? To be patient with all. Again, if you chose that book this morning, that reddish one, you could read more about that. But you look down here. Here's other passages that have to do with clarifying your choices. But I'm just going to close, because our time is up, with just three simple principles that are already filled in here that hopefully this message is coming across. This is what I want to come across. I felt like, as we look at what I call a biblical worldview Sunday, in a sense, it's a continuation of in-service, but it's not just for the faculty and staff. It's for us as a church body. And here's the message that I think all of us need today. To number one, as believers, we need to think biblically. It's down there at the bottom. It lists a couple of verses by it, but to think biblically. I get so discouraged, not discouraged, I really don't get discouraged, but I get disappointed when I see believers handling problems the way that the world handled problems. Seems like in the area of forgiveness and asking forgiveness, it just seems like so often we're handling situations like that like everybody else does. And yet Scripture tells us we've been forgiven. As a result, we're to forgive. And if we can't forgive, then let's go and handle that matter biblically. If we know someone has an offense against us, to go and really seek to have reconciliation. I've spent a lot of time this summer with individuals and couples, sometimes families, trying to help them to handle situations biblically. When there's an offense with somebody else, think biblically. Secondly, to live godly. Sounds pretty trite. Sounds Christian. Think godly. What does that mean? Well, you can look at Psalm 37. To trust the Lord and delight in the Lord and commit your way to the Lord and rest in the Lord. Philippians 2, look not on your own things, but on the things of others. No, no, we could go. And then just to serve God and others faithfully. If we can take that message and even look at those supporting verses. That's why I've given you so many passages here. Maybe they could be a help to you. That's why I want to leave the books as a part of our ministry for you. Maybe it'll be a help to you. As we've tried to do that, as we go to churches through the SLC ministry, Student Leadership Conference ministry, and try to just be an encouragement and help the families to look at these passages, maybe even talk about these passages in the book and discuss them. And even, you know, depending on ages of folks and so forth and children and all that, but it can be done. And raise the bar of our renewing our minds and thinking biblically. So let's have a word of prayer, and I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. And I hope you can put together just the thoughts that I shared. But tonight we're going to, I promise you, take one passage in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to look at it about being salt and light. Let's pray. Father, what a joy to be here. What a privilege to be a part of a local body of believers. Lord, there might be someone here this morning, maybe a couple that are here, that have never put their faith and trust in you. So they're in church, as I was for many years, but they really haven't put their faith and trust in you. They can have religion, but not a relationship. May they make that decision. May they be drawn to you, to your word. And then, Lord, for those of us that are believers, I do pray that we might be reminded as we've been together this morning, and we have the privilege of your word, that really does speak to us. And Lord, it teaches us. It gives us doctrine, wonderful teaching of what to believe. It shows us where we're wrong and reproves us, how to make wrongs right and correct us, and instruction in righteousness. And Lord, we rejoice in that. And so Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to think biblically and even to live godly as a result and to love you and love others and serve you and others faithfully, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?